Because we really are supposed to take the cross of Jesus and follow wherever it is that he has us go, no matter what. You know, we've got a. I have dedicated this message to the fathers today, but it doesn't mean that the ladies are left out. It can apply to you also. Get all my technology working right for me. If you would, turn with me to Malachi. If you don't know where Malachi is, it is the last book of the Old Testament. So if you get to Matthew and you're on chapter 1, just turn back a page, maybe two pages. And that'll be where we're going to begin today. So I want you to look with me at this, at Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, the very last verse of the Old Testament. And here it says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would that you'd help us to understand what this really means. That you would turn the heart of the fathers back to the children. Because we live in a generation that there are so many absentee dads. And then a lot of times we see that the fathers there, maybe they come home, but their minds are geared towards how they can excel in this life. And Lord, what we need is we need you to turn the heart of the fathers back to the children, and then the heart of the children back to the fathers, so that you don't smite us with a curse. Lord, would you help us to understand it? We ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we look into your word. Lord, let your voice be heard this morning, and let your word speak in a way that maybe no one has heard it before, to get our hearts back on track to serve you the way that we should, so that whenever you ask us to follow you, we will. We won't be afraid. We'll take up that cross and we'll gladly serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this verse, and I'll let you, you know, I've been working with kids for a long time. You know, when I graduated high school, well, actually before I got out of high school, my dad was hosting a Bible study, and Joy and I, we were going to the same church, and we watched those people's children while the adults did a Bible study. And then when I graduated high school, started going to this local church, and Joy and I ended up getting married, and we became the kind of the youth leaders at that church. And that really has been a heart of ours for a really long time, for the children. And one of the things that we've seen from the kids is that they're missing a lot from their families. They're missing love. They're missing understanding the right way. They're missing the scriptures. I mean, one of the things that is disappointing is when we go to places like the church camp and we see these kids and we know that their parents have them in church, but they can't even find the book of Matthew. Does that bother you? It bothers me a lot. But apparently, there's not very many people that it bothers. Because we have a generation that doesn't make sure that their children are in church. The parents aren't even in church. We've got somebody that we've got a teenager that we've been talking to that he's grounded from church. That's part of his punishment. He's grounded from camp where he would see the gospel in a way that he's never witnessed. Yet to the parents, they're like, all church is just a hangout. And that's what most people think it is. They think it's a place to hang out. I'm here to tell you this morning, because my feelings have already been hurt by this message. A lot of conviction that comes from the scriptures, of things that I probably should be doing better. But that's what coming to church is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about iron sharpening iron. And if you're a round knife, today you let the scriptures make you sharper. Let it touch your heart. In fact, let it turn your heart back to the children. If there's a problem inside of you, get it fixed. You have the ability, because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, to come directly to the throne of God and beg for forgiveness and say, Lord, I need you to touch me in that way. Would you turn my heart and my mind back to the way it's supposed to be? Because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the United States is under a curse. And God is going to send judgment on us if we don't repent and if we don't turn from our wicked ways. The curse is going to come down. No one is going to be able to escape that when it happens. You're waiting for the rapture. You're not guaranteed a rapture to keep you from what's going to happen. What the scripture says, what keeps you from it is repentance. Turning from evil. Drawing a concern for those who are lost. Standing up for what is right. Not looking for a way out, but being like a firefighter. When you see the blaze, when the blaze is flaming, everyone else is running away. You run in because you know that there's somebody in there that needs help. You have the equipment. You have the knowledge. You got to have the courage. And you don't run. You're like a police officer. Police officers don't run from the fight. The bullets are flying. They run into it. They may be afraid, but they know that there's someone in there that's valued. If you're a Christian today, it's your job. You're not called to run from the fight. You're called to run to it. You're not called to run away from the fire. You run into it. The scripture says that the gates of hell would not be able to prevent his church. Yet so many fathers who claim to be a Christian, they're MIA. They're missing in action. They're not where they need to be. And then there's those that are in the fight. And they're like, Brother Mitch, I'm trying with my hardest to do it. And it seems like every obstacle that could happen, happens. I'm going upstream against this flood of waters. You're right. That's what you're up against. You're up against the gates of hell. Even if the parents say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I think I'm a Christian. Yet it seems like every single thing that they do is to keep their kid from getting the gospel. Do you understand what the obstacles are in this day and age? It's the spirit of Antichrist that the Apostle John talked about. That we are waging war against the spirit that's against Christ. And they have taken God's holy name in vain. And they have called themselves something that they are not. And that's what we're up against. Lord, would you turn our hearts back to the children? I want you to see something. This is what I have seen personally. Look with me in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 4. I don't know if any of you have ever worked in children's ministry. Maybe you've had children in your house, and you can definitely relate to some of the things that you know that you don't understand why your children think this way. You don't understand why they would act this way. Why would they rebel the way that they do? In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 4, we'll give you some answers. It says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around them, both young and old, and all the people from every quarter." Do you get what that scripture says? We know what Sodom was about. We know what their main teaching was. This is what Sodom did. They would take their young, their little ones, to the evil that they were doing. They knew it was wrong, but they were teaching their young. They had a sodomite mentality. And I'm not just talking about a homosexual mentality. I'm talking about the rebellious, evil spirit that was wrapped up in all of Sodom. Read what Ezekiel says about it. It wasn't for homosexuality that he destroyed the city. It was for other things. Because they were just pure, evil, thriving off the spirit of Antichrist. And they were teaching their children to do that. Do you realize that that same spirit is in your children's schools? It's in the government. It's in our churches. And the ones who are committing these abominations are teaching their children. Their hearts are not for the children. Their hearts are against the children. And that is exactly what the devil wants it to be, because he is after them. He wants to steal them away from God. He wants to destroy their souls. He wants to kill them with death everlasting. Whereas Jesus offers everlasting life, He offers everlasting death. And He wants us to be His helper. And He wants us to help them train those children in evil. Have you ever thought about the evil that you allow into your home? Have you ever watched a rated R video in your home? What would Jesus say about that? You say, "Jesus, come on over, watch this video with me." How about the games that's allowed in our home? "Oh, Brother Mitch, it's just a game." Is it really? Is it? It's teaching your children to murder? Some of the games teach fornication and just all kinds of stuff. Is that what we want? You see, when you allow that, you've got the sodomite mentality in you. We've been trained. We've been programmed. The spirit of Antichrist is on us. And that's why we have to read our scriptures, and we have to let the Holy Spirit of Almighty God change us from it within to without, so that the things that we do are holy and righteous and acceptable unto God Almighty. We need the Father's hearts to turn to the children and look and say, "The things that I've been teaching are not according to the Scripture. If they're not according to the Scripture, where are they from?" Do we want the next generation to end up like the generation that we see today? That only 10% of the millenniums will stay in church. That will say, "I believe in Jesus as my Savior." What happened to the previous generation? They didn't understand what they were teaching. But they enjoyed the wickedness that came with the lust of this world. "Oh, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to bother them. They can look at those images. It's fine." But now we're starting to see that these mass murderers, these pedophiles, what do they all have in common? They look at pornography. And they've trained. We, as a nation, have trained our children to say, that is okay. It's natural. We'll teach our young ladies, oh, it's okay to flaunt yourself in a bikini. And then, when they get old, they can't hold a relationship. What have we done? Can you honestly say it's okay to present yourself when the Scripture says you present your body as a living sacrifice, that you can say, when I dress like that, that is acceptable before Almighty God? Is it? Can you justify that? I can't justify it. I can't see anywhere in the Scripture. It teaches modesty. It teaches that that should not be a thing. And we wonder what's going on with our children. Why would they want to shoot each other at school? There you go. We taught them to do that. We've taught them to do it. Because we have not restrained ourselves from wickedness, why would we restrain them? They know, the children know, if you're being honest with them, oh, don't do that. But Dad, you do that. Well, son, don't do what I do. You do what's right. Do you understand that what you do is what they learn to do? And our hearts have been focused on ourselves and not to the children. We need more men to say, you know what? I am going to do right by these children. If you don't have children in your house, it doesn't matter. You should be a mentor to some young men. The Scripture all over the place, it says the old train the young. Engage. Be the adopted grandpa. It's okay for you to do that. Eli was the adopted grandpa of Samuel. He learned from his mistake with his other two sons. I failed my sons because I did not restrain them. I will do better with Samuel. God gave him a second chance. He didn't learn right the first time. And he had a heart for Samuel. And we see that throughout the Scripture. God gives a second chance. Maybe you failed with your own. Find one that you can have a second chance with. Don't let this sodomite mentality affect you all your life. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, it says, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If you know Romans chapter 1, you know what all the subject matter that's talking about. The thing is that those who know that those things are wrong, they enjoy those. Oh, we make a joke about it and we laugh about it. I've been there, I've done that, and I'm like, oh, that verse is convicting to me because I've enjoyed making the fun. Or maybe I enjoyed the movie. You know, we're kind of programmed in human respect to like seeing the images that we shouldn't be looking at. But that doesn't make it right. It means that I need to repent. It means that I need to get down on my knees. I need to ask for forgiveness. It means that I need God to give me an extra set of courage to be able to overcome the sin that gets into my life. Just because I think it feels good doesn't make it right. It makes it sin if it's wrong against God. And sin, I'm told in Romans chapter 2 that because of sin, if I have not asked for forgiveness of it, if I have not forgiven, that I am heaping, my sin is heaping God's wrath upon me, and one day the mantle's going to fall, the judgment's going to happen, we will be judged according to our works. You're like, but Brother Mitch, you're saved by grace through work, through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you ever read that next verse? It talks about what you do when you're saved by grace through faith. Your works show a saved person. If you're living in sin, Don't tell me you're saved. Tell me you need to get right. You think you got the ticket. It's not about the ticket. It's about the life. It's to present your body, that living sacrifice. It's to be the example to the next generation. It's that heart. I want those children to do better than me. I want them to be better. How can I do that? How can I get away from this mentality that this world has programmed me, that the God of this world, who is Satan, by the way, has really instituted into every single aspect of our life? How do I overcome that? Revelation will tell you that they overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you overcome it. You allow the blood to flow, the blood of Jesus Christ to flow through you and over you. And that is what your mind is thinking about on a regular basis, that you want the blood of Christ to show forth through every aspect of your life. You know what it'll make you? It'll make you a peculiar person. Isn't that what the Scripture says that we are supposed to be? We're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be righteous in God's eyes. We're supposed to have the mind of Jesus Christ, not the mind of the Sodomite. That's what we're supposed to be like. I want to give you an example of somebody who was like that. You may know him. His name is Abraham. Just before these angels get to chapter 19, these angels have come and they visited with Abraham. And one of them is the angel of the Lord. Now, if you know your theology, the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate representation of Jesus Christ. And he is talking with the other angels that's with him, and he says, shall we withhold from Abram what we're going to do while we're here? So he tells Abraham, I'm going to Sodom to see if the cry of evil is as much as what I've heard. You see, somebody that was from Sodom has been praying and saying that there's evil there. And it's getting worse. There's no judgment. They are unjust. They're unholy. And they're abusing God's people. You may think that, oh, that's from live people. It may not be. We know that the blood of Abel cried up from the ground to God, didn't it, when Cain murdered him. So God sends His angels. But first, He has a conversation with Abraham. And Abraham intercedes. And he says, but Lord, what if there's 50? Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Abraham knew what Sodom was about. And he's holding on to hope. Surely there's 50 people. And then as the conversation goes on, he starts thinking, well, what if there's a lack of 5 of those 50? Would you destroy it? Well, what if there's only 40? What if there's just 30? What about 20? What about 10? Surely there's 10 people. Now you and I, we might be afraid to approach God Almighty, thinking, oh, God doesn't want to hear my whine, and He doesn't want to hear me beg. And it looks like Abraham is just begging for one more chance for Sodom. The problem is there was no one left. There was no one left in Sodom with a heart towards the children. Not even Lot. The Scripture tells us in Hebrew that he had vexed his own soul. He could not win the children. Because the children have been taught from such an early age to do evil, to do wickedly. That was the only thing that they knew how to do. And there was not a preacher up on every corner. I don't know, maybe there was, and they killed them. That might have been what happened. Maybe they killed all the righteous people out of there except for Lot, because he was kin to Abraham. But that doesn't mean we give up. Just because we think that there's no, that, like, how do I fight against this current of evil? How do I flow against the gates of hell? You know, God can still work miracles. And we're not called to give up ever. We're not called to call it quits. We're called to stay engaged. When our hearts are for the children, we're going to be there. We're going to want to do whatever we can to reach them. That's what our hearts should be like. Just like Malachi teaches. Turn the heart of the fathers back to the children. And you know what we'll see? We'll see the children's heart come back to the fathers. And we're missing that in our current generation. And you got to wonder, what's going on with our kids? When that's not the right question. The right question is, what happened to the fathers? You see, we have a generation that teaches, oh, you can do whatever you want while you're a kid. So we have young men becoming fathers or fathering children without actually being their dad ever. That's all over the place. It's rampant. They start dating this girl. Never do they intend to marry her. Have a couple kids with them. And when the going starts to get tough, they get going. They split. They don't want to be there. Y'all know anybody like that? I bet you do. It's all over the place. The hearts of the fathers got to turn back and look and see the children are God's most valued possession. When it gets to the point that the children are lost, that there's no reaching them, God will judge that nation. I can show you over and over and over in the Scripture, and you think, and all the people who think, well, that's for them, it's not for me. One day, we're going to have a bunch of men from the United States who have been under the gospel preaching, and they're going to lift up their eyes from hell, and they are going to remember their works. They are going to remember their violations of God's words. And they will be judged appropriately. And they will know why they're there. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we need to reach our kids. We need to be in continual intercession for our children. Y'all remember Job, don't you? When you get to Job chapter 1, it begins to speak that there was a man of Uz who was perfect and upright before the Lord God Almighty. But you're like, Brother Mitch, that's Job. Why isn't that you? Why isn't that me? Does God say that about me? Does God say that about you? If He doesn't, why not? Is it because we've accepted the sodomite mentality as a way of life for us, and we have rejected righteousness and holiness, and our hearts are for ourselves and not for the children? Job had, I believe, 10 sons and 3 daughters, and they would get together at each other's houses, and they would have a feast. And Job, he would go and he would sacrifice. Because he said this. He said, it may be that my sons have sinned against God, and I need to intercede for them. I need to teach them the right way. You see, the thing is our children need teachers. They need examples. They need us to be stronger than what we think that we are. You know, you can be stronger than what you are if Almighty God is living inside of you. You can have the strength of God inside of you. That's why He's given you the Holy Spirit, so that you can overcome the sin of this world. That's what Revelation chapter 12 says. They are overcomers. And Job, he said, I must sanctify my children. Fathers, you must sanctify your children. But if you're living on a life of evil, you're not sanctifying anybody. And we need to teach those children that they need to sanctify their children after them. How do they do it? By living a sanctified life. Maybe you don't understand what that word is. Justified is this fancy word for when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It means just as if you'd never sinned. Sanctified is you living a life that's holy and acceptable before Almighty God. And you live that sanctified life for your children. And you want them to be sanctified. You want them to understand the Scriptures. You want them to live according to the principles. What else? You demonstrate that life of sanctification. You live it in front of them. You live Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, for me to live is Christ. That's what he wanted to represent. He wanted to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. Fathers, we got to do that. I know the world's corrupt. I know it'll be the hardest job that you ever do, is to live that type of life amongst all the sin, all the things that are drawing your attention. What you have to do is you have to be sanctified in your life, and you have to sanctify every portion of it. That means you give it to Jesus Christ, because He's your Lord and He's your Savior. And you know that there's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. And you understand that, and that is what how you live. And you want your children to be saved, so that is what you do. You live Jesus Christ. You know, we spend so much time trying to teach it that we forget we need to be it. It's caught. It's not taught. There's a bunch of people out there, they've been taught about Jesus, and they believe in it, but the Scripture says that the devils believe, and they tremble. But when we believe, we need to believe different. We need to believeth, John 3:16 would say, I believe and I will believe and I always will believe that Jesus is everything. He's the only way. There's only one way. Him. And I've given my whole life to Him. My job to Him. My hobbies to Him. My spare time to Him. My family to Him. I sanctify my family because of the cause of Jesus Christ, knowing that it's only by His blood that they will ever be saved. And they invest in those kids. They invest in the children. The reason that they do that is so that they can understand. Think about Job. He wanted his children to understand salvation. You think he just went up to the top of a mountain without his kids there? He brought them with him. He showed them how God wanted them to live. He talked with them on a regular basis. He would absolutely talk more about Jesus than he would about sports. He would engage his children on a spiritual level. You know, I think our culture says that that's weak. Is it really? The Scripture will call Moses a meek man. It's not weak. We need to be meek. It's strength under control. Jesus was a meek man, yet He was Almighty God. At whose voice, when they came to arrest Him and they asked Him, where Jesus was, and he would say, "I am." And they would fall backwards. The voice of power protruded from our Lord and Savior. And he was more powerful than this whole world could even imagine. And he allowed them to arrest him and to crucify him because his heart was for the children. He would say it like this, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." That's what we got to do too. We've got to suffer the little children to come unto us so that we can show them Jesus Christ with our life. Look with me one more time in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Let's pray as the song leader and pianist come. Dear Lord, would you give us the right understanding of your word? Lord, would you create in our heart the burden to reach the children of this world, that you will re-engage with those who are fathers, those that are men and mentors in this world. And Lord, this is a message for the ladies too, but Lord, today I want the men to really get this. I want them to understand that the world needs them. The children need them. Because when they look around in this world, there's a lot of bad examples. There's very little righteous examples. And they need to look at us. They need to see something different. They need to see a man of God. Somebody who lives exactly what he says he believes. Who allows you to rule and to reign in his life. Lord, help us today. Help us to receive that spirit and to cast out the spirit that Sodom teaches us and that the Antichrist spirit wants us to believe. Lord, grow us in this faith. Help us to trust you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Draw your fathers and your men back to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.